All righty, we'll pray for this family too. Okay? Well, Bible study time. Let's get our Bibles and let's turn to a couple of places. 2 Kings 14, 2 Chronicles 25. Parallel passages of Scripture. There's some things in one that's not in the other. And so we'll be in both places. We're actually in studying through the 2 Kings. And 2 Kings 14, 1 through 21 has the reign of Amaziah. We switched back last week to looking at the kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. And we started looking at King Amaziah of Judah, whose reign is detailed both here in 2 Kings 14, and also where we'll be at most of the time in 2 Kings 25. So you want to kind of mark those two places, and we'll have you turn to only one other place. So you want to be able to mark them, be able to get back to them, and we'll tell you when to turn to the other place, okay? Now, we saw last week how the first four verses of the 2 Kings account and the first two verses of the 2 Chronicles account give us some insight as to the reason that Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not entirely. Okay? He had a heart problem, a spiritual heart problem. And we saw how that spiritual heart problem affected his life. He didn't have a perfect heart when it came to the things of the Lord. In other words, he didn't wholly follow the Lord. And oh, how we need to guard our hearts, lest we be found with a heart that doesn't wholly follow the Lord. Now, last week we reminded you that King Amaziah succeeded his father, King Joash, who also started well, but then after the death of Jehoiada the priest, he turned from the Lord to idolatry, and a group of conspirators assassinated him for his treatment of Jehoiada's sons, and we're going to see those conspirators. He's going to take care of them in what we're going to be taking a look at tonight. So basically, we see a similar pattern in Amaziah as we saw in his father, Joash, a good start and then a poor finish, both of them. And all too often in Judah, it was a like father, like son pattern in many respects. And in the case of both Joash and Amaziah, it meant that instead of turning from idolatry as they should have, in the end, Judah only went deeper and deeper into the worship of false gods toward the end of their reigns. And this is going to affect them to a point where they go into captivity. And we'll see that later. That's not in tonight's study, but it's much later. But we can see that's coming. And some of the Judean rulers, such as Jehoram, Ahaziah, and Athaliah, have been strongly influenced by their family association with the wicked King Ahab of Israel and his wicked wife Jezebel. And so they were very much idolaters. But neither Joash nor Amaziah started out as idolaters. But both were drawn into idolatry toward the latter part of their lives. How sad. To start well, but to not finish well. You know? I hope to finish well, don't you? You know, I think we're close to seeing the Lord come back. I don't want to slip up here toward the end. I don't want to be found unfaithful. I want to be found faithful when the Lord comes. And just as Joash did when he began his reign, Amaziah did what was right in God's eyes. And we saw that in 1 Kings 14, verses 1 through 3. Let's take a look at verse 3 and 4. We're going to take a look at some more details about this and other areas of his life that are revealed to us here. It says in verse 3, 1 Kings 14, verse 3, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places." So the first thing I want to point out is we see Amaziah failed by not taking away the high places, which were really a snare to God's people. The people of the nation of Judah were just as susceptible to idolatry as the people in the nation of Israel. People are people, you know. And quite frankly, idolatry had an appeal to the flesh. And the nation of Judah had a taste of idolatry because of the influence that Ahab's family had on the kings of Judah, which extended to the people of Judah. And once they had a taste of idolatry, they wanted to continue in it because they liked it. It appealed to their flesh. And they still wanted to hang on to the Lord for when they needed Him. Does that sound familiar? I need the Lord, but you know, I really like my sin. I really like this over here. And that's the way they were. They wanted to hang on to the Lord when they needed Him, but they loved their idols. And they continued to dabble with idolatry. Dabbling around with sin is never a good idea, and sin will eventually bite you in the end. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Second thing we notice, and we find this in verses 5 and 6 here. Look at verse 5. It says, "And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king his father. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin." So we see Amaziah following God's law when it came to dealing with his father's conspirators. And here we see that he was true to the Lord's commandments in dealing with these murderers. There was a law in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16. We're not going to turn over there, but that's what's quoted here if you wanted to know. And he punished only the guilty persons themselves and not their children. And in this matter, at least, we see that Amaziah took care not to break the law of the Lord, although in general, he still was not up to the godly standards of one like King David. He just never reached those standards. Third thing we find is over in 2 Chronicles. Look at 2 Chronicles 25. And these verses are not in the 1 Kings account. And so we'll read them from here. 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 5 and 6. We see Amaziah strengthened the military power of Judah. Amaziah strengthened the military power of Judah. It's verse 5. "Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle the spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver." Now, we see here he concentrated all his energies and efforts upon strengthening the military power of his country, which, quite frankly, had suffered decline during the rule of his predecessors. But even after Amaziah drafted all of the young men over 20 years of age, he used the same method, by the way, that the Lord had given Moses in Numbers chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. We'll not turn there, but if you want to write that down, Numbers 1, 1 through 3. Even after he did, as Moses did, his army was still only 300,000. Now compare that to right after the kingdom split, right after Rehoboam's reign, Abijah, Rehoboam's son, had an army of 400,000. So you've got a one fourth missing there of the strength of the army used to be. But Amaziah's plans, we're not really told what all his plans were before this point. We're going to see them in just a minute. But his plans demanded more than these 300,000 men, or so he thought. And so he approached his neighbor, King Joash of Israel, and asked for an additional 100,000 soldiers in return for an advance payment of 100 talents of silver. That's a big chunk of change. I didn't figure it out because of all the calculations you've got to do to get from an ounce of silver to get to a talent of silver. But I can tell you from just the rough calculations, it was a big chunk of change, okay? He paid a lot of money. When you're talking about 100 talents of silver. And so we see in verse number 7 now. We're going to see here that the Lord didn't approve of his hiring these soldiers from the king of Israel. And sent him an unnamed prophet to tell him as much. Look at verse 7 and 8. So, but there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. Now, this unnamed prophet came to King Amaziah, telling him that the Lord was against this close association with the northern kingdom. And ordered him to send that hired army home. I mean, they are there already. They are there. Understand, they are in the land of Judah, ready to fight. He's already sent the silver ahead, time paid in advance. 100,000 are there. He's getting ready to go to war with Edom. And the Lord said, you go in and you're going to lose because you're dealing with idolaters here. You're messing around with idolatry. These idolaters from the north that I'm not pleased with, they're under my judgment, and you're going to be under my judgment if you don't watch out. So, note several things that this prophet pointed out here. Look at verse number 7. But it came a man of God to him saying, well, king, let not the army go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel. That's what I want to point out. For the Lord is not with Israel. Why was that? Because of the idolatry. The Lord could not bless them. And we see in verse 8, the first part of it, it says, but if you go, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. Now, why is that? Because disobedience to the Lord brings only defeat. That's something we need to learn. Amen? Disobedience to the Lord brings only defeat. And then the third thing is found there in verse number 8. And that is, for God hath, the very last phrase, for God hath the power to help and to cast down. And this is where I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture. Look at Psalm 33 with me for a moment. Just keep your place there. Try not to lose it. Psalm 33 and verse number 16. Psalm 33, verse 16. And, you know, Amaziah would have done well had he looked at this, or had he known that the psalmist had written this. Look at Psalm 33, verse 16. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. And so he should have known about that. Psalm 20, verse 7 also says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. All right, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 25, and then let's look at verse number 9. And we see after this unnamed prophet tells him this, he protested. We see Amaziah's protest there in verse 9. Can you guess what the protest is about? It's about money. He don't like these, that he's giving up his money and not getting anything out of it. Verse 9, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. That's something good to highlight there also. If Amaziah, listen, if Amaziah had done things in the proper order first, he would not have hired these soldiers without first consulting the Lord. See, that's where he messed up at. He didn't go to the Lord first. It was an expensive lesson for Amaziah to have to learn. Have you ever had to pay a high price for not consulting the Lord about a decision you made? Yeah. I doubt that it cost you the equivalent of 100 talents of silver. At least I hope not. Like I said, that's a big chunk of change. Now note the prophet's response to Amaziah's protest there in verse 9. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Well, Amaziah didn't like it, but he obeyed and forfeited all the money that he'd paid in advance, but he wasn't through paying. I mean, he's still got some problems on his hands here. And we see the problem, they see the anger of the army that was sent home. And verse number 10, and we're going to look at verse number 13 also. Look at verse number 10 first. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 10. It says, then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. You'd have thought that they would have been happy not to have fought, but they were wanting to fight. Man, they weren't getting their testosterone was running high in these boys, and they were wanting to fight. Now look at verse number 13. So, but the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. Expensive lesson. Amen. And so we see here, you know, these soldiers sent back home, but I guess they were insulted because they had been rejected by the king of Judah. I guess they felt like the king of Judah thought they couldn't fight, that they weren't good enough, and so they were going to show him. They looted and destroyed entire cities of Judah on their way back to Israel. But remember, this all could have been averted had Amaziah sought the Lord before hiring these soldiers from Israel. Now, we see Amaziah's victory over Edom next. We're going to read the Chronicles account. There's the account in verse 7 of 2 Kings. But let's read here in verse number 11 and 12. It says, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000, and other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down upon the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces. Kind of a gory sight, actually, here. As soon as Amaziah saw that his military power was sufficiently strong, he prepared himself for war against Edom, and the province which had this, if you remember Edom, we've seen that they threw off the yoke of Judea back during the reign of King Joram. Some of you were with us. I think most of you were with us when we studied that. But they got their independence back from Judea. Well, I've read that the king of Edom had spared no effort to strengthen their position and fortify their cities, especially their capital of Selah. And Selah was built on a high rock. It was made impregnable by a double ring of strong forts, And Amaziah succeeded in defeating Edom's army and capturing the capital city as they killed 10,000 Edomites at that point. Okay? They killed 10,000 as they captured the capital city. Then they had 10 more thousand that they captured alive, and they marched them to the top of the rock of Selah and tossed them off to their death off the rock. Selah just means rock, is what it means. And that's, they took them up there, threw them off. What a gruesome sight. Next thing we see is found in verses 14 through 16. And we see Amaziah's egregious sin in his victory. Yeah, he won a victory. Kind of rubbed it in with that last tossing of the 10,000. Probably shouldn't have done that. That probably didn't please the Lord. And he probably was showing his pride in doing that. And we're going to see... We see in verse number 14, look at verse 14. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods. What? Did you read that? And set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Good question, right? It came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? In other words, he was accusing this. The prophets were normally part of the king's council, but this particular prophet came from the Lord on a special assignment. He wasn't part of the king's council, and he was getting ready to slay him here if he didn't shut up. You know, when he said, Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. So, sadly, Amaziah also followed the example of his father Joash's later reign, the later part of his reign. And although Amaziah defeated the Edomites, he took the gods of Edom home with him and started to worship them. Now, this ought to be in the Ripley's, believe it or not, section of the dumbest things in history. You know? Dumbest things a king ever did. Even the unnamed prophet pointed out this stupidity there in verse 15. You know, why have you sought out the gods of the people who their gods couldn't deliver them out of your hand? You know, that don't make sense. And it doesn't make sense. These gods couldn't bring Edom victory. What did he think they were going to do for him? Well, what they did was make the Lord angry. That's what they did. And we see Amaziah's defeat before Israel. And it's found in verses number 17. This came out of what this idolatry of his. It's found in 2 Kings 14, verses 8 through 12, and also 2 Chronicles here, 25 in verses 17 through 24. Let's read this. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Joaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. In other words, have a face-to-face confrontation, hand-to-hand combat. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, he's giving him a proverb here, telling him a story, giving him a parable. He said, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites. And here's where his pride is pointed out here. This is why I say, even this northern king can see the pride that was in that victory over the Edomites. Verse 19, thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifted thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why? I like this next phrase here. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt? Why are you going to meddle and wind up getting hurt? That thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God. You ought to highlight that. It came of God, that he might deliver them into the hands of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, and the son of Jehoahaz at Bethshemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem. Okay, here he takes the king to his own city, his own capital city. And notice what he does. And break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. Then he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, can we get it out right, and the treasures of the king's house, and the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And so we see here that out of pride, Amaziah foolishly decided to do battle against King Jehoash of Israel, even though Jehoash warned him against it. And the result of this battle was that Judah was soundly defeated. And 2 Chronicles 25:20 says that God was behind it. This was of God. God was behind Amaziah's choice to go to war because he sought to discipline Amaziah and Judah for worshiping Edom's gods. So he takes one idol-worshipping country to the north to punish the other idol-worshipping country in the south. God can do what he wants to do. That's what he did. Not only was Judah defeated, but Amaziah was captured and carried to Jerusalem to view the army of Israel breaking down the wall. It's kind of like in your face. Okay? It's like, what's what we're fixing to do? They got him captured. He's all... You know, he's bound. I don't know why he didn't kill him. He didn't kill him. But he wanted him to see this. And they plundered the treasuries of both Amaziah and of the Solomon's temple. And they had hostages. No doubt he took his wives. As usually with the hostages that were taken. They would take the wives into captivity. Because that was the highest slap in the face that you could do to a king. Was to take away his wives and his concubines. And we're not told, but I just presume that those were the hostages that were carried off by Israel. Amaziah and Judah were weakened and humiliated here, and this was just a foretaste of what God would do if Judah did not turn from this idolatry. And it's a warning, really, that Judah sadly did not heed. We're going to see when we get to chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles, when we get toward the end of these two periods of of Israel going into captivity and Judah goes into captivity. 2 Chronicles 36 details Judah's going into captivity. So Amaziah shows us once again that a half-hearted commitment to God and His Word often leads to grosser sin later on. And Amaziah did not tear down the high places as he should have. And later, he adopted the worship of Edom's gods. And if we're not diligent in our obedience to the Lord, we may likewise descend into more significant sins. And so we need to endeavor to be faithful to God in all things, even the little things, so that we don't fall further. Amen. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to see Amaziah's death. And began to look at the reign of his son Azariah, also known as Uzziah. Okay? So, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.